special expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to ProFlowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 3000. That's ProFlowers.com, secret code 3000.
Iran and Israel trade rocket fire just hours after the Israeli prime minister comments on the U.S. withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal.
We said that rather than blocking Iran's path to a bomb, the deal actually paves Iran's path to an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs, and this within a few years' time.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking there hours before Iranian forces in Syria fired at least 20 rockets at Israeli positions in the Golan Heights. Most of those rockets were intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome defense system. Then hours later, Israel's military struck dozens of Iranian military targets in Syria, the largest Israeli strike in Syria since the civil war there started in 2011. First-time claims for jobless benefits unchanged from the previous week. The numbers from the Labor Department showing 211,000 Americans filing initial claims, the same as the week before. Experts had expected it to come in a little bit higher. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Officials at the Department of Defense are to release details at noon today about an ambush that claimed the lives of four members of a U.S. Army Special Forces team in Niger. Here's John Clemens.
The October 4, 2017 ambush took place about 120 miles north of Niamey in the impoverished West African nation. The bodies of three U.S. Green Berets were discovered on the day of the attack, while the fourth was not found until 2 days later. Roughly 800 U.S. troops are on a mission to advise and assist only. The four who were killed were believed to be in pursuit of a known leader of an Islamic terrorist group.
Senator John McCain has not returned to the Senate as he continues to battle brain cancer at his home in Arizona, but he has issued a statement in which he says the Senate should not confirm the nomination of Gina Haspel to be CIA director. The chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee saying he believes Haspel is a patriot who loves our country, but her role in overseeing the use of torture by Americans is disturbing. And McCain says Haspel's refusal to acknowledge torture's immorality at that hearing yesterday is disqualifying. And a deadly E. coli outbreak tied to romaine lettuce grown in Arizona now growing again, as the CDC has said the outbreak has spread to 29 states, most recently to Florida and Minnesota. One person has died, 148 others getting sick. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. The sponsors of the May 19th Patriotic Concert being held at 2 p.m. at North Huntington High School are giving away free tickets to veterans and their families as a thank you for your service. Concert includes special guest Joe Piscopo and over 100 performers and musicians, including a 17-piece big band, a 32-piece string orchestra, Broadway show Trans-Siberian Orchestra singer, an operatic angel, a rising child star, a choral group, and of course the award-winning Huntington Harmonizers. You can call the show's producer, Kevin Gray, at 908-419-9878 for ticket info. Call right now because tickets are limited. The number again is 908-419-9878. That's 908-419-9878. It's going to be a great show, so veterans, get your tickets now.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Huntington Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome back to another very special edition of Legends of Success, the program that introduces you to America's most respected entrepreneurs and acclaimed individuals, those who have made it to the top and generously want to share with you their personal journey of how they overcame obstacles and the strategies they used to get there. I'm John Resnick, and thanks for joining us. And I hope that our program continues to have a positive impact on your life as you listen week after week. You know, folks, as I mentioned, this is a very special edition. Part two, as we welcome back our friend Bernie Marcus, the co-founder of one of America's most incredible retail success stories, Home Depot. Bernie, how are you today?
I'm in great shape. Pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
Well, it's great to have you back. You know, there's so much in your life story, Bernie. How do you do it all in an hour, even 2 hours? And we thank you so much for coming back on this second segment. You know, Bernie, for those who missed the first part, I'd like to do a very quick mini recap of a couple of important pivotal points that affected your life prior to opening the first Home Depot, and then we'll pick up maybe where we left off last time, okay?
Right.
Okay, folks, the son of a Russian Jewish immigrant, Bernie Marcus grew up very poor in Newark, New Jersey, and had the aspirations of becoming a doctor one day. Now, due to a quota, which was a restriction of the number of Jews the medical schools allowed in the late 40s and early 50s, the only way Bernie Marcus could get in was a $10,000 under-the-table payoff. He got the grades. He didn't have the $10,000. If the family pulled all their money together, you couldn't shake $10,000 at them. They were just that poor. But I have a feeling if he had it, he wouldn't have paid it anyway. It's a matter of principle. Well, fast forward, Bernie eventually became employed in the hardware and home improvement retail business and eventually was an executive for a retail chain called Handy Dan's. His career was flourishing. Bernie even won some national awards for his leadership at Handy Dan's until one day, April 14, 1978, at the age of 48, Bernie and his friend Arthur Blank were called into a meeting without warning, without advance notice, fired on the spot. At the top of their game, fired. On the street, unemployed at the age of 48. Why did this happen? It obviously happened, as Bernie alluded to last time. It was the result of crossing and disagreeing too many times with a whack job at the top of that company. And I do refer to him as a whack job. Bernie, you know, I'm sure there's so many listeners, including myself, who at one time or another were fired unjustly. I mean, how did you personally handle that? How did it affect you?
Well, first of all, it's not easy. When you think you're on top of your game and you're doing very well, and in fact, you're producing a lot of profits, and all of a sudden you walk into a room and you're, you know, just summarily dismissed, and not only dismissed, but basically destroyed, because being fired as opposed to being laid off, as opposed to, you know, resigning, has a lot of connotations to it. And I must tell you, like everybody else, I look for blame. Everybody looks for blame. You try to blame everybody. And then at one point, there's a lot of, sorrow and unhappiness and shock and shame. And, you go through all these emotions. And eventually, if you stay in those emotions, you go down the drain with them. I mean, you can't stay that way. You have to begin to look at yourself and see whether or not, number one, who you are and whether or not you have the ability to really do good things. And you have to have a lot of faith in your own, in yourself. When it happens and it's uncalled for, there's a lot of recriminations that go on, and all of your energy goes into that, And when you have all your energy going to this mourning period, I call it a mourning period, which I think everybody is allowed to have and which I think is pretty good to have. But after the mourning period, you have to move on, and that's exactly what happened to me. So, but if you stay in that mourning period too long, it becomes part of your thoughts. It becomes part of who you become, and pretty soon you become a pretty miserable human being. And life can't have any good surprises for you from that point on.
It really, I guess initially it made you bitter, and that's understandable. But you, in other words, you're saying don't remain bitter. In other words, you didn't allow the negative part to affect you long term.
Well, I think that, look, remaining bitter, I mean, I had the fellow that fired me, I don't love him, and I never did love him, and, you know, I don't love him today after all these years.
No.
But the truth is, it's really about yourself. It's a question of whether or not you believe in yourself and whether or not you're going to have any ego left. You know, when this happens to you, your ego takes a tremendous hit. And ego is what drives everybody. Now, I don't mean this ridiculous ego where people become so enamored of themselves that they forget who they are. I'm talking about ego in yourself, a belief in yourself, self-worth. All of those things go down a drain, and you can't allow that to continue. So you got to move on, and you got to just close that phase of your life and open a new door and start to. And we have this. This thing that we believe in. I mean, Jewish people have this word called beshert, which means that something happens for a reason and that it usually is a good thing that happens. And here, I mean, it was difficult for me to understand that something good was going to come out of it. But, you know, John, look what came out of it.
Huh.
If I had been fired, if I hadn't gone, you know, through that period, this terrible thing, but I didn't, but I believed in beshert. I believed that something good would come out of it eventually. And because I believed that something good could come out of it, I had enough of a positive attitude that something good did come out of it.
Well, and you know, this goes back to your beginning. And folks, now I'm speaking to the parents out there who are raising young children. And believe me, I'm not trying to lecture to anybody. I'm just sharing the successes that we're hearing from Bernie. Go back and how that word Beshert influenced you as a young child and where you learned that from, Bernie.
Well, I learned it from my mother, actually. And this was a part of her belief. Remember, this is a Russian immigrant who spoke very little English, but she was a tower of strength and a tower of intelligence and had this great courageous, even though she was suffering from rheumatoid arthritis almost all her entire life, she had this very positive feeling, and she infused that with us so that we knew that no matter what happened to us, that something good would come. If somebody died in the family, she could see something that was good out of it. She'd say, you know what, look at the pain they were going through. They're in a better place today. It's better for everybody, the family, et cetera, et cetera. She could find something good out of any kind of a terror thing where something good could come out of it. And she infused that in her children. And I live with that all of my life, and I believe in it. I believe in it today. When things happen that don't go according to plan, when things are, happen to you, and it happens in everybody's life, everybody has some sort of tragedy in their life that somehow or other you can't allow it to drag you down. You must be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm, I love it. And, you know, folks, we're listening. We're speaking with Bernie Marcus, the co-founder of Home Depot, and also the benefactor, the creator of the Marcus Foundation. We're going to get into later about all the philanthropic things not only he does now, but he's always done. But you look back. So he had a lifetime dream of becoming a doctor, went to Rutgers, got great grades, and found out he couldn't get in. No fault of his own. Later on in life, the man's 49 years old. He's fired. He is absolutely fired from a job, middle-aged, I would call a serious crisis. But, you know, it goes back to the way you handle disappointments and setbacks. And we've always said, and we have learned from our legends of success, that how you handle your setbacks in life will greatly predict how far you'll go in life. So lesson here, Bernie, I guess, is you've got Charlie Jones, a great American inspiration who was on the show, once said, it's not how hard you fall, but how high you bounce when you hit the bottom or something like that. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's very good. It's very true.
It's very true. And, folks, when we get back from this next segment, we're going to talk about what in the world did he do next And how do he end up opening this first dream store of Home Depot? Who is there to help him? Who are the players? We're going to hear it all. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Legends of Success today, our exclusive interview with Bernie Marcus, one of America's most intriguing entrepreneurs. I'm John Resnick. We'll be back right after this.
How are you enjoying this latest stock market roller coaster ride? You've worked too long and too hard to let market volatility and a tired old spend-down strategy rob you of your retirement savings. David J. Scranton, founder of Sound Income Strategies, has dedicated his entire career to educating baby boomers how to avoid becoming prey to market volatility and the retirement spend-down trap. To teach you how to get off the roller coaster and transform a potential retirement spend-down into retirement income, David's now offering free copies of his latest book, Return on Principle, 7 Core Values to Help Protect Your Money in Good Times and Bad, to the first 1,000 boomers to respond to this message.
To receive David Scranton's best-selling book, Return on Principle, call 866-913-1234, 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. I'm so pleased to welcome back our friend Bernie Marcus, the co-founder of Home Depot and also the benefactor, the creator of the Marcus Foundation, that is just such a generous organization we're going to get into later. But I do know, Bernie, that part of the heart of everything you do in your life today is to helping challenge children, people who are kids that have setbacks physically and emotionally, etc.
Yes, I'm very much involved in a new program called Autism Speaks, which really deals with this tragedy of autism, which I don't think people understand how absolutely it's out of control it is. You know, when I started the Marcus Institute, which is deals with autistic and children with developmental problems, about 14 years ago, it was about the incidence of autism was about 1 out of 5,000 children. So 1 out of 5,000 children born were diagnosed with autism. That's 14 years ago. Today, based on the CDC numbers, it's 1 out of every 166 children born.
That's frightening.
Is diagnosed with autism.
That is really frightening.
So you think about that a second, and you begin to look at your grandchildren. You begin to look at your children, and you look at your own children that are being born today, and they're not being diagnosed too readily because the pediatricians don't really know that much about it. And it's a disease that nobody understands why it started. They don't know where it came from, and it's on us. And 1 out of 166, it's almost an epidemic proportion, I believe. And so we're starting a new program called Autism Speaks, to get the word out so that, in fact, we could raise money for more research to find out why people are born with autistic, that are autistic. Number two, how can we stop it and how can we prevent it? And number three, How do we take care of the millions of Americans today, not only Americans, it's all over the world, who have autism at different ages? I mean, they're, you know, anywhere from the age of 1 up to the age of 55 or 60 that are studying with autism. What do you do about all of these people? Some that are not severe and some that are very severe. So it's a real crisis program, and we're beginning this program now, and Suzanne Wright and Bob Wright, who are, you know, associated with NBC and Universal Pictures, sure, are leading the charge, but I'm involved with them on it.
And, folks, in a little while, we're going to talk more about Autism Speaks and some other philanthropic things Bernie is doing. And, Bernie, I tell you, when you look back, your mother, from a very young age, instilled giving. I read somewhere, and correct me if I'm wrong, that as poor as you folks were back in Newark, New Jersey, that sometimes you'd have coins for ice cream money, and your mom would take it and say, we've got to give it to the poor people. You're poor yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because she believed, my mother believed that the more you gave, the more you got.
Well,
listen to that. The more you give, the more you get. And whether you know it or not, it's true. I have found that to be true all my life, because I remember when I didn't have any money, which was not that many years ago, I would give as much as I could to charities to help other people who were in need. And we just grew up that way. We didn't know any better. Jewish people do this. This is how you grow up as a Jew. Part of your philosophy of Jewishness is to give back constantly. And so we grew up, and that's all we knew. We knew how to do that. The truth is, the more we gave, the more we got back. And then sometimes you don't get it back in kind, but you get it back in knowing that you're really doing some wonderful things for people and helping people through very severe needs. And, I'm proud of the fact that American people do that because, with the tsunami and earthquakes and hurricanes and everything else, the American people really rise up and to the occasion and give out. We're the most generous people in the world, I mean, people around the world don't give anything near what the American people do.
No, it doesn't even come close.
No.
But talking about giving and getting, I mean, there was at one point when you got fired, going back for a second to your job, you're 48 years old, Mr. Sigaloff, who is a real tyrant, and it's the truth, boom, you're out the door, nothing. You had nothing saved at that point, I don't believe, correct?
No, it was very difficult.
And so what was the first thing? You must have pulled together. You and Arthur Blank are looking at each other, I'm sure. What was the first steps you took to get into Home Depot? What were some of the first steps?
What happened was that when I called one fellow by the name of Ken Langone on the phone to tell him the bad news, it was going to be in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, the fact that this the CEO of this company was fired, was very important business news, and when I called Ken Langone to tell him this, he was jubilant, and he said, "You've been hitting the rear end." I'm using the nice word so you don't get knocked off the air. He said, "You've been hitting in the rear end with a golden horseshoe," and he reminded me that 3 years prior I had explained the store, I had described the store to him that I had in my mind that was going to really just revolutionized the whole hardware home improvement industry. And I didn't share it with him because I didn't want anybody to really know about it. And he said, "Let's do that store." And he reminded me about it. And I said, "Well, it will take a lot of money." And he said, "I'll raise the money." And, in one nutshell, I'm giving you a real encapsulation of what happened.
Sure.
He did. He went out. Ken Langone went out, and he got the investors to get some money together. These are all people that made money in my prior company on the stock, which they had bought at $2 a share and basically sold out at $25.50 a share. So they were taking their money and putting it back into the Home Depot concept. And then I brought along Arthur Blank, who had been fired with me, and we began to put on paper all of my thoughts on how this thing would run. And it was revolutionary. It was. You know, here we go. Years ago, when you would want to go to do something in your house, you would have to go to a plumbing store, an electrical store. You'd have to go to a carpentry store, and you could never buy what you needed in one location. The small home improvement stores that were there during that period of time just carried small amounts of merchandise. I envisioned this gigantic store that would carry everything that you would need under one roof. And that we would have people on the floor that would have knowledge of how to teach you how to do this. And we bought directly from manufacturers, which meant that we didn't have the middleman profit, and we gave that profit back to the consumers by having lower prices. Wow. So the whole concept was a unique and unusual concept. And that was the concept of the Home Depot. And putting it on paper, getting the manufacturers to sell to us, being able to hire all those kind of people we're talking about, finding the locations for the stores, this was a really challenging for us. And we managed to do it. And we opened these stores. We opened two stores in Atlanta where we found locations. And we were not successful at first. I mean, people just didn't understand it. They walked in the store and they were just overwhelmed by what we had. And it was like they were frightened, almost frightened to buy.
Well, they must have been intimidated. But, you know, before you get into those new stores, I'd love you to share a quick anecdote. There's a very famous, well-known businessman in America who had an opportunity that could have owned a major portion of Home Depot today. Can you give us a quick anecdote, who he is and what happened?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a good friend and an investor with Ken Langone.
And his name was?
And his name was Ross Perot, the infamous Ross Perot. And
yeah.
Ross was convinced that about our business. He thought it was a good business. And we needed the seed money at this point. And he agreed to put up the seed money for this. We had this negotiation, and the negotiation was almost finished. We had just come down to the fine points near just before we went into contract, and I mentioned to him that I had a car that was being repossessed by Sandy Sigaloff and his gang, and that I wanted to buy that car. It was a three-year-old car, and he said, well, what kind of a car is it? And I said it was a Cadillac, and he kind of said to me, my people don't drive Cadillacs, and he said it about four times, and I said, hey, listen, I don't want to buy a new car. I want to buy this old car, which is depreciated, and we could get it at a cheaper price because I also believed in low overhead. And he kept saying, our people don't drive Cadillacs. And I began to realize that he was basically telling me that this independent company that we were supposed to be setting up, where I was going to be the titular head, that, in fact, I wasn't the titular head, that there was somebody who was really over me.
Sure.
And I decided that that was not the guy for me. And so I turned down the money. And, Ross, I guess, took it in a nice vein. It was an investment that didn't work out for him. But that Cadillac gave me the independence that I needed. And he was very good about it. I mean, years later, he's a great shopper in Home Depot stores, loves Home Depot stores. They're all the time.
But he's crying, Bernie. He's crying, isn't he?
Well, if you ask him about it, you know, he could have been the richest man in the world.
I got to take a quick break here, but I want to tell the folks. Now, I'm going to let you tell them when we get back how much he would have invested and how much that investment would be worth today. Folks, when we get back, stick around. The numbers will knock you off your seat. We're having a great conversation. Bernie Marcus is our guest today. I'm John Resnick. We'll be right back.
Have a question or comment about the show? We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website, legendsofsuccess.com. This is Legends of Success with John Resnick.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
I would not put CIA officers at risk by asking them to undertake risky, controversial activity again.
President Trump's nominee to be CIA Director, Gina Haspel, at her Senate confirmation hearing yesterday, where she was questioned heavily about her involvement with the use of torture techniques back in 2002. But she told lawmakers,
I would never, ever take CIA back to an interrogation program.
Meanwhile, former Vice President Dick Cheney is out with a statement that says the U.S. needs to start using enhanced interrogation techniques again. Three Americans who'd been held by North Korea are back on U.S. soil.
I got to speak to them on the plane. These are great people. They've been through a lot.
President Trump speaking there as he greeted the three when they touched down at Joint Base Andrews just outside D.C. overnight. And this is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
The most original success stories in America with our country's greatest entrepreneurs, billionaires, and acclaimed individuals. They are the legends of success. Once again, here's your host, John Resnick.
We're having a fascinating visit today, folks. You're on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick, and Bernie Marcus, the co-founder of Home Depot, is with us. Had a great story right before we took a break. Early on, when Home Depot was trying to raise money to go into business, Ken Langone, who is a Wall Street charging financier, money raiser, Wall Street banker, went to Ross Perot with Bernie Marcus, and they almost did a deal. And he was going to invest how much, Bernie?
I think it was around $2 million.
And if you take back then the $2 million he would have invested, I understand he would have had what percentage ownership of Home Depot?
75%.
75%. So the $2 million that he didn't invest cost how much today?
I don't know. I guess maybe $50, $60 billion. I guess it would have made him one of the richest men. It would have made him richer than Warren Buffett, I'll tell you that much.
Jeez. I'm choking on that one myself.
But he's not starving to death, by the way.
Well, he's not starving to death.
He's doing pretty good.
Yeah, he's not doing bad. But, boy, I tell you, you talk about a golden horseshoe that didn't kick him in the butt, right?
Well, but, you know, he said, I'll tell you what he said afterwards. He said, look, he says, in business deals, because I met him about 5 or 6 years later, he made a speech for us for some charitable organization I was involved with, mm-hmm. and he did the keynote address, and he was so nice to accept it. And we talked about it, and he said, look, he said, you know, in business, sometimes you make good decisions and sometimes you make bad ones. He says, this is one of my better ones.
Yeah, but, you know, at least he made enough good ones. He's certain, like you said, he's not crying today. He's not broke.
And he happens to be a terrific guy. So
that's good to know. You know, it's good to know personally from people that know him, you know, what some of these folks are like. And again, that gives our listeners an opportunity to meet the Bernie Marcuses of the world, because so often people who don't know people of such great wealth and success can easily be intimidated just by ignorance or not understanding. But, folks, I hope you're learning that, hey, I don't care if they're worth a dollar or if they're worth $20 billion or $50 billion, whatever. People are people. And Bernie Marcus here today as our guest is really sharing some great stories. They don't have to come on the show. They want to do this to try to help you in your life. Bernie, let's talk about the opening. I've got to fast forward a little bit because you have so much here. Fast forward, June 22nd, 1979 was going to be the first opening of the first Home Depot, correct?
Right.
What happened? Was it successful? Was it not?
It turned out to be a disaster. Of course, we had very little money. I mean, we had $2 million to open the store, and we had some bank financing, but it was, you know, when you're going to fill four stores up with people and you have pre-opening expenses and everything else, we were counting on a very big opening, and lo and behold, a terrible thing happened. We had this double truck, which is a two-page ad in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. That was going to be our big thing, and guess what? They left the ads out. Just left it out. And so our grand opening, we had all these people hired, people waiting with this, you know, with their faces at the door. My wife was outside giving a dollar bill to everybody. My wife and kids, and Arthur's wife and kids, giving a dollar bill to each one that came into the store. We couldn't give away the money. I mean, there was nobody there.
Oh, jeez.
So but it turned out they were terrific about it. I mean, it just happened, and it wasn't. I guess somebody just through negligence, and they made up for it afterwards by giving us the back page of the front section. You know, really, for years after that.
Really?
Yeah. So here's another case of something that was a disaster, a tragedy, a terrible thing. And believe me, we were crestfallen when it happened. And out of it, something really good came because They were able to make up for it and gave it to us back in spades.
And how long did it take for Home Depot to become profitable? I would think at the end of the first year you had to still be in the red.
In the first year we had lost almost half the amount of money that was invested in our company. But the second year we began to see people travel from 50, 60, 80 miles away.
Really?
Traveling to our store. So people had heard about it through word of mouth because we didn't have that much money to advertise. And they were traveling from that far away because an aunt or an uncle or a cousin had told them about it. And they were coming with trucks, really, on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. People were coming in with trucks and filling the trucks up and going back home. We knew that we had a winning formula at that point. And the next two stores that we opened, they were almost profitable the day we opened them.
Was that in Florida?
That was all Atlanta.
Oh, all Atlanta. Okay.
The first four stores were in Atlanta, and the next four were in Florida, in South Florida. And then we moved on from there.
I read an article, I dug up an archives from Hollywood, Florida. And it's something to the effect that the second the doors were open on that brand new store, it said literally people were busting the doors open, running over each other just to grab everything they could off the shelves. Is that an exaggeration, or was that?
No, not at all. I mean, this was like a pent up demand for the kind of products that we carry. Remember, they couldn't buy these products anywhere else, and they certainly never saw these kind of prices. We're about a third less. And by the way, I want to tell you something very interesting. We changed the way people. We changed America because as our stores opened throughout the United States, the competition, we forced prices down by anywhere from 25 to 30% in every community we went into.
Wow.
So we made home improvement affordable, and people were buying houses because they could afford to keep them up. People went into the business of renovating houses. Because we made it so easy.
Well, you also taught people how to do things. I don't know the difference between a hammer and saw. I got thrown out of shop growing up. But you also empowered people to do things on their own, individuals.
That's correct. So we made life easier. So there are a lot of things that you could do with your house today. You could put a whole lighting system in your house today for $1,200 or $1,300. And prior to the Home Depot, that same thing would cost you $4,000 to $5,000. I mean, that's really the kind of numbers that we're talking about. So anything that you can do for yourself, you can save an enormous amount of money because the labor factor and the fact that you're buying the product at a lower price really adds up to a lot of savings.
And I can imagine by the time the competition caught on, you must have left them in the dust.
Well, we opened a lot of stores because people didn't understand the low margins. They didn't understand what we meant by high volume. And they couldn't understand how we could afford to spend the kind of money we did for people on the floor of the store. We had electricians working for us, carpenters, plumbers, all experienced salespeople that really made their living that way. And they were the kind of people working on the floor of our store. So nobody quite understood the dynamics of it. And in many cases, people don't understand it even today.
It is unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, we're hearing a fascinating story of the success of Home Depot as we visit with co-founder Bernie Marcus. When we get back, we're going to find out what was an opening share when it went IPO in 81. What did a share of stock cost? And if you invested $10,000, what would it be worth today? Hold on to your seats for that one. It's incredible. I'm John Resnick. This is Legends of Success.
Legends of Success.
This report is brought to you by Facebook. There are a lot of questions right now on how Facebook works. People are asking, who can see what I share? Why do I see posts from ads? And how does Facebook use the information I share online? Facebook spokesperson Michelle Mandara offers tips on how to improve your experience.
You have control over the content you see and share on Facebook. If you see a post from someone that you aren't really into, you can click snooze and temporarily remove that person. Or if you want to see more photos of your best friend's baby, then click see first so they always appear first in your feed. You will see ads on Facebook since that's what allows Facebook to be free, but you can remove or block ads that you don't like. Our ad preferences allows you to control the ads you see on Facebook.
The app controls show you what apps you've logged into, the information you have shared, and how to remove them. For more, visit facebook.com/help.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Missed part of this week's great Legends of Success interview? No problem. You can hear each week's show online on our website at legendsofsuccess.com. We responded to your calls and emails and now post each week's show for you to listen to free of charge at legendsofsuccess.com. Every week, a great guest to listen to, learn from, and enjoy at your convenience. Look for the link right on the main page at legendsofsuccess.com.
Bernie Marcus is our exclusive guest today on Legends of Success. We're hearing this just an amazing story in the history of business in America. You bounced back from being fired at 49. You went on, you raised money. Ross Perot missed an investment for $2 million. He'd be worth roughly $56 billion today. But he's still a good friend, and no one's perfect, and he's not starving. But let's say we go back to 1981 with your IPO. The original share cost $12, correct?
Right.
If somebody would have bought 1,000 shares, and this is tough to calculate, but say they would have bought 1,000 shares, what do you guesstimate it would be worth today?
Probably between $500,000 to $750,000.
For $12,000, because it's trading somewhere, what, in the 30s today?
It's in the high 30s, but it's. But remember, it's split many times. So, and if you had bought, by the way, an interesting number, which is another kind of number, if you had paid $12,000, you would have received in dividends probably five times that amount during this period of time.
Really?
Just in dividends, right.
Well, listen, when are you going to open up another concept?
You're right.
Come on.
I'm too busy with charitable.
Well, you just open it. We'll find someone to run it.
Well, that's the making money part of my life, which is gone. It's now the giving away money that's now here.
Well, let's talk about that. And one last question about the entrepreneurial part of your life. What advice do you have for others who have a great idea in life and they say, gee, I think I can do – I mean, can you create a business like Home Depot today? Is that possible?
No, I think it's very difficult. And the one issue, John, which is critical, was that we used public money to grow. And, you know, 81, we raised a lot of money on our stock offering. And then over the years, we sold a lot of stock, a lot of outstanding shares in the world today. I think being a public company today is very difficult. Very difficult because of the laws that they have. You know, it's almost as though they want to stop the entrepreneurs from succeeding. If we had to live with all the laws they had that they have today, then I'm not sure that Home Depot could have grown the way it did.
Well, it's a shame. You know, there's been a handful of scandals, maybe a little bit more than a handful. But when you look at the great number of entrepreneurs, it is such a small minority.
That's probably 1%.
Folks, Bernie Marcus, the co-founder of Home Depot, you're listening to Legends of Success.
This report is brought to you by the Road to Zero Coalition, led by the National Safety Council. Fatal roadway crashes have been increasing, not decreasing, over the past 2 years. In 2016, more than 37,000 Americans were killed each year on public roads, 5,000 more than in 2011. A broad-based coalition has come together through the Road to Zero Coalition to share a vision for a future without any roadway fatalities. They are sharing knowledge on what works today, hope for technology solutions, and a call to prioritize safety every time we are on the roads. This vision is available now. Deborah A.P. Hirschman, President and CEO of the National Safety Council.
Over 50 years ago, we pledged to put a man on the moon. Many thought it was impossible. The Road to Zero Coalition's goal today is to eliminate roadway deaths by 2050. Like going to the moon, it will take leadership, commitment, and new technology. This report lays out how we can make traffic fatalities a thing of the past.
For more information, visit nsc.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
You'll never have a better partner, personally or professionally, than Bernie Marcus. He's a gentleman. He's a man of honor. We've shared a lot of joy. We've shared a lot of heartache. But we've always done it in a way that each of us came out better and stronger. If you want a real model of somebody who understands what it's all about in terms of not only being successful but giving back, there's no better model than Bernie Marcus. He's the best.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Rezik. I'm so pleased to welcome back our friend Bernie Marcus, the co-founder of Home Depot. You know, Bernie, before we took a break, we're talking about these unfortunate scandals that seem to be hitting big businesses. And you pointed out that it's 1%, but why does the 1% appear to be just big businesses?
But remember, the big companies are the ones that hire all the people. The wealth of the nation is based on the stock market and value to shareholders, that people invest in businesses. That's it's what drove America. It's called the free enterprise system.
No question.
And there are people out there, there are a lot of members of Congress that are trying to kill off the golden goose, as far as I'm concerned. Here, the rest of the world is trying to emulate us, and we're trying to go backwards.
Well, it's a
socialism,
shame.
Socialism and communism don't work. We know that for a fact.
Well,
the free enterprise system is a system that does work, and we have to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to go backwards, okay?
Bernie, they put out the Sarbanes-Oxley. Is Sarbanes-Oxley, and folks, for those who don't know what Sarbanes-Oxley is, it was, well, why don't you explain it, Bernie?
It was a law to prevent the companies, really to put the clamps on companies where you have a couple of dishonest people. And, you know, you ever hear about throwing the baby out with the bathwater?
Oh, sure.
Man,
sure.
This is throwing out at the whole family with the bathwater.
Mm.
I mean, it was an overreaction by Congress. I know that public companies today, the amount of money it costs to adhere to Sarbanes-Oxley, I think it's probably one of the dumbest laws I've ever seen in my life.
Mm.
I think it's dumb. All these people that are going to jail today that committed crimes and they should be in jail, are not going to because of Sarbanes-Oxley. They're going because of the laws that were on the books.
Sure.
So why build a new law and a whole new structure and cause the kind of costs that are now associated? And also fear. I mean, you know, being on a board of directors today is a frightening experience. I'm off of every board I was ever on.
Really? Well, you know, it's interesting.
I wouldn't be on a board of directors today if you stood on your head.
My father said that 20, 30 years ago, before it was fashionable to say, is there anybody who gets on a board has got to be crazy.
Well, I think today there's such the ramifications are awful, and anybody who's on a board I think is nuts.
Isn't that a shame? Well, I tell you, I sure hope it turns around. The pendulum's got to swing back. I don't want to miss in this segment, because we're going to wrap up in a few minutes. Bernie, tell me the importance, since the days when you folks were dirt poor early in Newark, New Jersey, today, up until today, you've always been philanthropic. Let's talk a little bit about the importance of giving back, and let's talk about Autism Speaks. Give me something on that.
Well, I think that, number one, it's one of the things I'm involved with. We're involved with medical research and children's causes. But right now I'm really focused on Autism Speaks because I think that it's becoming more, people are beginning to acknowledge the fact that this is becoming more and more serious every day. Here we have a disease. We think it's a disease. We don't know if it's genetic or what it's caused by, where the incidence of autism and the ramifications of it. I mean, children have autism. It changes the life of the entire family. It's not just the child, because you're living with something you don't know how to deal with. I mean, you wake up, you have this wonderful little child that you love and you've been waiting for 9 months and maybe dreaming of for 5 years before that, and there you have this little child that doesn't acknowledge the fact that you're even alive. And so dealing with this child and how to move this child along, we don't know if there's no cure for it right now. We can make life better, and we could bring them along where they don't communicate. We can get them to communicate. There are things that we can do with these children, but there's no cure for it. And more importantly than that, there are children, while your broadcast is going on, there are probably 10 or 15 children being born in the United States and maybe 100 worldwide right now who have autism. And so I am concerned about it, and I'm concerned about it because I have children, I have grandchildren, and I am concerned about my grandchildren's children. And so we're going to have to eradicate this. So we're asking people that, number one, to look at their children and help diagnose autism, because the earlier you diagnose it, the better your life is going to be, and the better that child's life is going to be. And right now there are people that don't understand enough about it, and I would suggest that you look at we have a website called autismspeaks.com, and you ought to try to find out what the signs are so that you can know how to deal with it and find those places, and there are some places, but not numerous, where you could be treated.
And that's called Autism?
Autism Speaks.
AutismSpeaks.com.
Yes.
Fantastic. Is this something that has gotten worse, or is it just being greater recognized?
It's getting worse. Well, we don't know. We think that the diagnosis is better, but it's getting worse. There's no question about it. The numbers prove it. This is not my own opinion. This is now a factual thing.
It is. Bernie, you've also sat on and contributed a lot to the Center for Disease Control, have you not?
Yes. Yes.
Over the years. Why was that so important to you as well?
Well, you know, it's health and welfare of our people. You know, when the anthrax scare came about, who did everybody turn to? They turned to CDC. When the serum didn't come out for a virus this year, who did everybody turn to? The CDC. If there's a biological outbreak anywhere in the world, we had this terrible thing in Angola today, this virus that's eating up people, literally.
Yeah.
And the CDC's on the spot trying to keep it from traveling out of Angola to our own shores, you know, which it could do on a plane very easily. So all of these things are CDC. And we had an opportunity to Congress authorized something called the CDC Foundation, where people could donate money and help the CDC do things that aren't authorized by Congress. And I got very much involved with that. I was a chairman of that organization for a while. And we helped. We certainly helped improve the facilities at the CDC as well. So I think a lot of things can be done when people want to help and do it.
Thank you so much, Bernie, for being such a wonderful guest and everything you've done for our listeners.
All right. Thank you, John, for having me. And I think you're doing a good job for your listeners as well. You're bringing them information I think they wouldn't have had otherwise. So take care of yourself, and good luck to your program.
I want to thank Sharon Marshall from the Marcus Foundation for her assistance, and our team here at Legends of Success, Michael Parks, and every week, the intelligent and beautiful Billy Resnick, my best friend. You've been listening to Legends of Success, the most original success stories in America. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next week.
This report is brought to you by General Mills. Today, 842 million, nearly 12% of the world's population, struggle with hunger, including 13 million kids and teens in America. There's a clear need to find solutions to feed more people today and for generations to come. In response, General Mills launched the General Mills Feeding Better Future Scholars Program, which asks young people to share their sustainable agriculture and hunger relief solutions for a chance to win $50,000. Now, General Mills is thrilled to announce this year's finalists. Braden Mannering launched Braised Brown Bags to deliver nutritious food and water to thousands of people in need. Jack Griffin created the Food Finder app to help families connect with free food assistance. Kate Inderlin used regenerative agriculture to improve the quality of soil in her community. Katie Stagliano founded Katie's Crops to empower kids across the country to grow fresh produce to fight hunger locally. Joy Awakim leveraged unused space, a landfill, to grow healthy produce. Vote for your favorite finalists at feedingbetterfutures.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
I would never, ever take CIA back to an interrogation program.
Despite lawmaker concerns about her involvement in enhanced interrogation techniques after 9/11, most expect that the CIA director nominee Gina Haspel will be confirmed to that position by the full Senate. After her confirmation hearing yesterday, former Vice President Dick Cheney said he expects it.
In the end, I think she'll be confirmed.
And in an interview on the Fox Business Network, Cheney said he'd like to see those enhanced interrogation programs still up and running.
If it were my call, I would not discontinue those programs. I'd have them active and ready to go.
Experts are warning of the possibility of a major eruption by Hawaii's Kilauea volcano, perhaps in a matter of weeks or even days. The USGS says it could come with little or no warning. This is USA Radio News.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 Plus Medicare, our free service can show you you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistant programs, and save you money. Call now.
800-635-6303. 800-635.
You're listening to HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Fell to its lowest level in 40 years last week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down in early trading. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 were ahead slightly. Senator Lindsey Graham is using a humorous video to respond to Donald Trump giving out his cell phone number. The GOP presidential candidate appears in a YouTube video titled, How to Destroy Your